This is URN Sport.
University Radio Nottingham, that's a good station as well, URN. Let them do a go well to finish, please.
Can you stop editing the go well, please, at the end of their show?
Cheers.
Go well. Keep it URN.
Keep it URN.
URN.
This is URN.
Hello and welcome to the preview pod. It's Poms versus Kiwis in a test series all the way in New Zealand, in Hobbit land. And with me is my favourite Hobbit, Toby Reynolds. Toby, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You've never been described as a Hobbit before.
No, which is quite weird because you're much taller than me.
6'2" Hobbit, I think that's the first, isn't it?
It's a big Hobbit. Have you ever read Lord of the Rings? Are you a big fan of the films?
No, I've watched the first film a couple of times, but can never make it really through it.
I think it's on that level of magic and like weirdness of like gnomes and stuff. If I'm going to do a gnomes film, I'm going to watch Gnomeo and Juliet. No more, no less. Of course,
No more, no less.
Good banter. Obviously, New Zealand's where they filmed Lord of the Rings. It wasn't just a bizarre sort of offshoot. Apparently, they still kept the setup, which I rate.
Yeah, they. You can still go there and visit it.
Quite right, though. Yeah. Thoughts on New Zealand as a country?
Really nice, actually.
What do you mean?
Yeah, on my year off.
Would you recommend?
I would recommend, actually. It was really good fun.
So you're listening to Travel Pod.
Exactly. Steve Wickett does travel.
Oh, away days.
Away days.
Away holidays. The series is going to be from Thursday the 16th of February, and the second test is on the 23rd, 2 days after Pancake Day. So when you're munching on your leftover Nutella, you've got something to watch. Only two test matches in this series. A little bit disappointing, considering how exciting the last series was, Toby. Did you wish there were more?
Always. I think two test match series don't really seem worth it. Mm. Like, I get as a sort of smaller country, they can't really make it worthwhile playing more than two, to otherwise they'll be losing more money. But it just doesn't seem quite worth it. To going all the way around the world to play two test matches, and one of them might be rained off because of some cyclone hurricane thing.
Yeah, which El Nino.
Exactly.
So the first test starts at 1 a.m. on Thursday morning, so essentially Wednesday to Thursday night. The second test, however, is a little bit more accessible. The Thursday to Friday night, but starting on Thursday at 10 p.m. for England fans. That's not bad at all. Do you think you'll stay up to watch, or you're quite lazy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll probably catch it before and or after club nights.
Yeah. Obviously, it starts on Thursday. Maybe before Ocean, just going in, see what score. It's going to be on BT. Does that mean anything to you? We need to just go over where people can watch. Obviously, it's going to be covered on URN Sticky Wickets. Of course, it goes without saying. Other podcasts are available, but we're the better one. It's going to be exciting, but the BT, is that okay for you?
I don't have an account with BT, so it doesn't affect me.
Can't watch it?
No. There'll be a stream somewhere.
Illegal stream. My housemate has it, so I'm able to watch like that. And it's actually really annoying that Test cricket across the world, we can't really watch just because you don't have a pass, which is a much bigger problem. But it'll probably be highlighted somewhere.
There'll be YouTube stuff.
Overall, excited for the series?
Yeah, it should be a good game. It's two really, really good Red Bull sides, particularly England's of resurgence in the last year.
Yeah.
Which I think should help it, and obviously the Kiwis are a good side. We beat them 3-0 over the summer, but they'll obviously be at home, and that should hopefully help them try and go back into it. Only two matches, England probably won't be that fresh, so they might be able to pinch one. I can't see New Zealand winning both games, but I think I get the prediction. I said yesterday 1-1, but I think England might be able to go 2-0. I don't know, actually. What about you, Dom? What's your prediction?
I'm going to say 1-0 to England. I think there might be a bit of rain, might be a draw. But just looking at the players available, there are so many players. So Joe Root and Kane Williamson, both in the top 10 for test batsmen. Then you go to the bowlers. Carl Jameson is at number 8, with James Anderson and Ollie Robinson at 3 and 4. With England all-rounder Joe Root at number 10.
For bowling?
Yes.
For
test ranking. That's how good his batting is. And Ben Stokes at number 4. It's just a series filled with exciting players at the moment. Are you worried? Could England have a rubbish record in New Zealand? Do you think this is New Zealand's best chance to get back and running? They've had a bit of a struggle in their test series of late, but do you think this is their home series and they have a good record against us? Or do you think the fact we're not coming off the back of a humiliating Ashes loss, as we usually are against New Zealand, do you think that might struggle against that?
I don't know. I think they could struggle, the Kiwis. They've lost quite a few players. Carl Jameson, you mentioned, is in the top 10 for bowling, but he's got, I think, he fractured back fracture, so he's out for the series. And they've got a few other players actually struggling to get to Mount Maunganui for the match because of the cyclone. So I think it could be a tough fixture for them. I think if England managed to win that first test, I think England would put themselves in a really, really good position for winning the series first time since 2008.
Wow, 2008, you think of a side, that would have been Strauss or just about a part of Vaughan, maybe? Probably Vaughan, definitely Vaughan.
He was injured around the end, so he might have missed that one, but technically still been captain, I'm not sure.
So we've actually had a look, and Michael Vaughan was captain. Can Toby remember the last England 11 to win down in New Zealand, win a series in New Zealand?
This is tough. So Cook and Strauss, I think, to open.
Yep.
Did Vaughan batter three as captain?
Vaughan is three.
Number four, Kevin Peterson?
Correct.
Five, Bell.
Five, traditionally Bell, however, there was a night watchman.
Ooh,
with very big hair.
Sidebottom?
Sidebottom is correct. Okay,
nice. So Bell would have been a five, six, yeah. Collingwood?
Collingwood, yeah. So, he is the keeper.
Oh, is it Tim Ambrose?
It is Tim Ambrose.
Because he's always one, whenever I do these little quizzes about guessing people, he's played like four test matches, and it's always between Garrett Jones and Matt Hayes. Yeah. So Tim Ambrose in there. Bowlers, we've gone with Sidebottom's one.
Jim Brodie.
Yep.
Can you guess the spinner?
Is it this Graham Swan?
No, it's not.
Panasol.
It is Panasol. Well done. That's very, tricky. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Getting the side bottom is, to be fair, very tricky.
I think it helps when you said big hair.
Yeah, yeah. Who else would have been? Onions maybe at that time?
Yeah.
Resin's not quite on the scene yet.
Tremlett
would have played in 2007, so he would have been out of the question. Not a bad side. Would go on to bigger things.
So that specific side there. Do you think that they would beat the current side, or who do you think is the better team?
This England team. This England team would tear them apart. I think Jimmy and Brodie are now better bowlers. I don't think their pace has dwindled too much to an extent. Their mastery has sort of gone beyond the point where their mastery of the ball is actually better than the speed they probably had. Panasar is a spinner, probably a bit better than whoever we've got. Leachie, is it?
Probably Leachie,
we'll go through the side next. Ambrose is keeper.
Taking them folks over.
Collingwood is a very good, stubborn batsman, something we don't have.
It's him versus Brook, really. Oh, no, him versus Stokes, I guess. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'd probably take Stokes over him.
The opening partnership's certainly better. Vaughan at this time struggling.
Yes.
KP's very hit on this. Ryan Sidebottom for Ollie Stone.
Probably Stone, but just because he's a bit more experienced, maybe the potential there as well.
Ian Bell, a fantastic batsman, but at this time, probably not hitting his marks as much as others.
He took a while to score, because the fact that always followed him around was he only ever scored hundreds when someone else made 100.
And it wasn't until 2013, wasn't it, the Trent Bridge game?
I think it was, yeah.
And that all changed, but still a very long time from this. That England team's are very much a team going into transition to be one of the great teams of all time, but still under Vaughan's captaincy. Not quite that side. Let's go over the modern day English side. Toby, who's on the plane? Who do you think will be in the starting 11 for England?
So they've pretty much announced, I think, starting 11. So it's meant to be Duckett, Crawley, Pope, Root, Brooke, Stokes, captaining, Ben Folkes keeping, Broad, Leach, Robinson, Jimmy. So that leaves Will Jacks, Dan Lawrence, Matty Potts and Ollie Stone missing out. But then I'd like to see Stone in there personally.
Let's break down the third fast bowler route, and maybe even the second, because we'll talk a little bit about Jimmy and Brodie next. Stone, Potts, might feel a little bit hard done by, but Robinson's really coming to his own.
I don't think he's the third bowler. I think Brodie is the third bowler. Not necessarily in Stokes' mind, but I think in a lot of other people wouldn't necessarily be playing Broad. I think it's the question mark is between Stone and Broad rather than Stone and Robinson. I think Robinson has proved himself enough.
In fairness to Broad, we'll talk about the mad stat that's coming up, and I think that proves it alone. I think also how he works with another bowler needs to be considered with Brodie.
Yeah.
He works well in combination, and like we've always said about Brodie, can just go on a match-winning rampage like we've seen so many times. Jimmy's obviously the one that we can confirm. Mad how he's playing in 2008 and probably been in this step. A relatively established part of that side. he will bat very well. Robinson, someone I doubted very much, but over Pakistan, his fitness really was demonstrated to me. I think we had a bit of a joke and laugh about it, especially after the Ben Stokes documentary. He seems to be someone who's growing into this. And you often see this with players who have maybe had a bit of trouble in their youth. He needs someone to look after him in the perfect way. McCullum and Stokes. McCullum, maybe not so, but Stokes, certainly, who's been on the wrong side of the law, had a trouble with the tabloids. Similar to Robinson, you can just see that sort of hand around the shoulder, sort of, right, lad, what are we doing here then? I think that's why Robinson has progressed as an athlete, progressed as a bowler as well. I hope to see Robinson progress.
He does average 20 with the ball in Test match cricket, 60 wickets already just from 14 matches, which is a phenomenal start to a great career so far, and hopefully continuing on.
And now he's got that leadership, and he's also learning from the best. Jimmy Anderson. How excited are we to see Jimmy Anderson again?
Gonna be good, isn't he? Yeah. You'd think the Kiwis might create some green seamers, which might suit, will suit Jimmy and Broadie out and Robinson.
And there's a special stat going around, isn't there, Toby?
There is. So Jimmy and Broadie as a partnership have 997 wickets.
Not bad.
Not bad effort. They need 5 more wickets to eclipse Warne and McGrath as the best bowling partnership ever, who are on 1,001.
Yeah.
So they need 5 wickets, which you think if they play together in either the matches, they probably will do, touch wood.
Probably. Did you hear me the first innings or the second innings? It's probably the first.
You'd think you'd put your money on the first innings, and if not, they're probably going to pick up a bunch in the second.
Very exciting. We talked about this on the Tuesday Sports Show. Do you think it'll be the first or second test, first or second innings? It could all depend on the pitches. The pitches are so interesting with New Zealand. As you mentioned on the Tuesday Sports Show, 6 or 7, every Tuesday, talk about a whole range of sports, but let's focus on sticky wickets. Will it be a sticky wicket with the green seams, or will it be an absolute concrete road?
That's a tough one as well, because generally the Kiwis make, if they think they're the favourites, they will make a flat track. No, sorry, they'll make a flat track and try and bat the opposition out of the match and back their bowlers to take wickets when they need them. And they've done that quite consistently. However, and you'd think, with the record that it's been, that England probably should be underdogs. However, they do like a little green seamer, dibbly dobbler, which they did quite a lot against. So India came over a few years ago, and they made a lot of green seamers and tried to skittle out the Indians. And that could be the way to go, because you think it's dangerous, as shown in Pakistan, that a flat track could be exactly what baseball and England would want. Green seamers, on the other hand, are exactly what Jimmy, Broadie, Robbo would want. So,
and do you think that maybe might allow... We've batted teams out, if that makes sense. We never bowled... We bowled very well, but we never dominated with the ball as much. You could maybe argue one or two of the Pakistan games, in consideration of the pitch, we bowled a team to victory, but we never bowled someone over, if that makes sense. There's never been any very low scores. This could be the time to see baseball through a different perspective.
It could be. I mean, yeah, the South Africa series a little bit, but... Even then, it was really the hundreds that carried England to victory, rather than particular bowling performances that skittled South Africa for 30. So I think, it could be a good option, really, to see Jimmy and Broadie and Robbo at full pump, trying to get the ball nipping around and getting some Kiwi scalps.
A few players we've mentioned during that 11. Who do you think's opening?
I think Duckett and Crawley are almost certain to. It could be a make or break moment for both of them. If either of them have fantastic series and get big 100 on a tricky wicket, or arguably I would say even like a 50, 60, 70 on a green seamer where a team's bowled out, everyone's getting bowled out for 200, could arguably be a better option than a big 100 on a flat track, because we've seen that they both can do that.
There's not going to be flat tracks in Britain.
That's the thing, is you kind of want almost the green seamers to try and them to prove themselves they have that technique, because obviously Zach Crawley still hasn't really stood out outside of what 300s he's got and a couple good 50s, but pretty much all on flat tracks. So he really needs to sort of prove himself that he can open the batting when it is difficult conditions. Duckett, on the other hand, obviously started his career back in 2016, I think it was, didn't go to plan. He's come back in really, really impressed in Pakistan, scored a big 100 on the opening day of the whole series. My prediction, I will say. I have to bring it up every time. It's in my contract. And then went on to to score a lot of 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s throughout the rest of the series, and impress in that way, and actually not necessarily score the big hundreds, but do what was needed, because the Pakistan pitch curators obviously started to make them a little spicier to try and allow Pakistan back into it. And Duckett was, alongside Harry Brook, was key to England's victory.
Mm. It is interesting. I think there's only three test matches before the Ashes start, for England.
Yeah, only three of these two, and then the Ireland test.
Singular test. Very, very much feels far away. But for the players, it's in their minds. Do you think... you've talked about your legendary prediction skills. Do you think we'll have the same opening partnership for the first game in the Ashes?
If there aren't any injuries, if they're both fit, I think they probably will be. The only reason I think they won't is if Crawley, either of them really, probably Crawley, literally doesn't make a single run. Like, literally, Audi's it. Duck, 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 duck.
Goose,
exactly, yeah. In these two test matches here, and then in Ireland, doesn't score any runs and hasn't batted for Kent well. Mm. Even then, I still think that they will pick him.
Because basketball's all about backing yourself. No matter what's going on, it's about backing yourself and what you believe. I think it would be very, very harsh for him to be dropped. We've just seen him progress. And you never know, with a five-match series, we've seen players develop, we've seen players regress. You've got to give him that chance. And who else would you really want to have, considering how well he's been performing? There doesn't seem to be anyone else on the county side.
Keaton Jennings is probably the next best option, but that's not really who you want.
But we know he doesn't work.
Particularly against Australia.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, in Sri Lanka and in India, maybe I would take him as an opening bat, possibly over someone like Crawley, but not against your Starks, your Hayes, which are coming in 90 mile an hour,
gonna move it a little bit.
Exactly, top and tail it, bounces, Yorkers. That's not really Keaton Jennings is strength. So I think it would be silly to bring him in. I don't know who the other options are. Arguably, sliding everyone up one position and allowing Bairstow in lower down, or it could be an option to Pope alongside of them.
Pope's a very interesting one. The middle order for England is a bit of a, not a mess, but it's a complicated jigsaw of who do you fit where. What do you think that middle order will be in the next few days, next few games?
It's probably going to stay the same. I think they all just about, well, Brook definitely, but the rest of them did just about enough in Pakistan to keep positions. Pope obviously got a good 100, but then sort of fell away a little bit later on. So it will be interesting to see what happens. I think Root and Stokes are nailed on. Brook is, you think, should be nailed on, and probably is. But it's trying to find where to slip Bairstow back into when he comes back. Folks, I think, is in danger. Mm. He has to have a good series. He has to have a really good series. If he can get a couple 50s, maybe even another 100, which I'd love to see, then he's, you think, going to solidify himself back in that side. And they might have to look elsewhere to fit Bairstow in. So it's an interesting one how that jigsaw you mentioned is going to fit out. And they might use it to try and weed out someone, try and work out who might be the option for Bairstow to come back into. The Ireland game will be key as well.
Mm. It's a really exciting time for English cricket. Australia really struggling down under, which we love to see. The momentum England could gain for their first win down under in New Zealand. Obviously, Down Under's, I messed that up. I apologise to my Kiwi.
Everywhere's Down Under.
Yeah, probably. It's Southern Hemisphere, you know what I mean? It'd be massive momentum to get their first win for 15 years. We've just seen what they've done in Pakistan, which was a similar sort of timeline, and to go on and actually smash that record. Do you think that recent record of struggling, because with Pakistan, none of the players bar Jimmy had actually played in Pakistan, whereas this one's a little bit more recent. They've had a few more recent times in New Zealand, a few more players might have gone there, struggled in the past. This is a new challenge for England to go somewhere they've struggled, that they've all struggled, and win, rather than a place that historically we've struggled. Do you think that comes into their mindsets, or do you think basketball just crashes through it again?
I think basketball crash through it again. I think that's probably what they're just thinking is, go out there, bit of golf, bit of rain. Mm. That's what they're all used to, their English, that's all they do over there, probably. And I think they'll be fairly confident with themselves, and rightfully they should be.
We also know McCullum, a native New Zealander, a very weird situation for him now, going home where he is an absolute cricketing god, but he's now performing for England, essentially. What do you think we can learn from McCullum's time as a New Zealander, and what can he impart the knowledge on to about the New Zealand strengths and weaknesses on the pitch, off the pitch, and what lessons might he teach the England boys and find and get them to win after 15 years?
Oh, it's going to be... I think he probably knows the pitches a lot better than everyone else, which is I think, key, really. And I don't think he's going to worry that much about that kind of side of things. So I think he'll probably keep it fairly simple and just say, go out there, hit some sixes, listen to some Dire Straits, wear some cool sunglasses.
What's your obsession with Dire Straits at the moment? Everyone's playing it.
No, it's because it's the Jimmy hitting that, you know, Jimmy in the tank top hitting the six at tail enders.
Oh, is that?
That's some Dire Straits in the background.
Okay. Yeah.
This is URN.
And as usual, we'll be doing our predictions. StickyWicket_URN to see the beautiful graphics Toby makes. Now, Toby made some amazing predictions last series against Pakistan, but will he be able to get it right again? Toby, what's your score prediction officially? Let's hear the official prediction.
I've changed my mind so many times, and I liked your 1-0 call, actually, with the rain around. Mm-hmm. I think it could be a good shout. It's fairly... I don't know what the word is. Fairly safe.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, 1-0, if the Kiwis win 1-0, you're like, oh, it's not that far off. Whereas if you go for a whitewash 2-0, you're like, oh. 1-0... I think it depends on the weather so much. If they can play that first test fully, which the weather forecast doesn't suggest, then I think England could win 2-0. But I think I'm going to have to go 1-0 just on the basis of...
I'm going to go bold. I think that's 2-0 to England.
I'm going
to
go 1-0 England. Oh, yeah, just on the basis of weather. Just on the basis of weather.
I'm going to go bold 0-0. The weather's going to blow out both games.
Both games?
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Just imagine you fly 24 hours round to New Zealand.
For some golf.
Well, too bad. I'm sure actually they're quite happy about that, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go for most runs next.
This is tough again. I'm going to go for Ben Duckett. I'm going to risk it. I predict him to score a big 100 in that first test of the Pakistan series, and he had a really good series around it. Harry Brooks obviously up there as well, but I'm going to stick by Ben Duckett, I think.
I'm going to go Kane Williamson, obviously one of the best batsmen in the world. Also home turf, he knows it very well. And also New Zealand need him to stand up if they're going to win. Most wickets?
Wickets, I'm going to go for...
Depends on the pitches, but I need an official answer.
James Anderson.
I will go Stuart Broad.
Ooh.
Because I need to back my boy Broadie.
You do.
I
like that.
Player of the season? Series?
Player of the series. I'm going to go Ben Stokes.
I'm going to go Kane Williamson again. Because I think that would be like, we just need to give this to someone. Because no runs are going to be scored. Magic moment, Tobes.
Magic moment. I hadn't thought about this one before. I think, well, it's a bit of a escape route, but Broadie and Jimmy getting to their...
Oh, come on.
No, I won't. I'll go for...
Okay, I'll tell you what. Another prediction.
Yeah.
Who will get that wicket to make it 102? Broad or Anderson?
To make it 102, Broad.
Anderson, I'll have to go for.
Oh, okay.
And then magic moment, and it can't be that.
Can I say it? They need five. Mm-hmm. Can I say they get to it with the James Anderson fifer?
Okay. I like that. That's so he takes all five. Oh, that was so hard
to get there. Yeah.
So harsh.
I think Broadie could be... I've now just gone for the back on myself because I said Broadie was the one to get there.
Yeah.
I can't say that, can I?
Who keeps the ball?
Ooh.
Surely the ECB have to keep it.
Probably, I think they probably would chuck it in the Lord's
museum
or something.
Yeah. Also, they've both got kids. You don't want that sort of hanging about, getting ruined and lost. But obviously, Jimmy has a massive massive basket of just balls he's won. I'd like it to be in a sort of case where we can all just go and look at it.
I think they probably will somewhere.
Yeah.
What's my magic moment?
I think the fifer one's good.
So, can I keep it vague and say someone will take a fifer to get... Oh. I'm going to go Broadie then. Broadie will take a fifer to get to that 1,000 and second wicket.
Joe Root.
Is he getting 200 and a fifer again?
No, he's not doing that again. Oh, I'm not sure. I will back... Did you say... Is Folks back? Folks is back.
Folks is due to play. He's the only proper keeper in the squad.
Ben Folks will score 100 to confirm his place.
I like that.
England's wicketkeeper for the Ashes.
I want that to happen now as well. I don't want to get your prediction right, but I want that to happen.
It's tight.
hopefully I'll come out on top, accept the scoreline. We want England to win. Other cricketing news, Aaron Finch has retired from international cricket. We've done a whole segment on Owen Morgan, but Aaron Finch, just a sensational batsman of our time.
Yeah, he really was. I was quite lucky enough to saw a lot of him playing at Surrey, which was good. Him and Jason Roy opening the batting for Surrey was prime cricket, prime Basball, pre-Basball. It was phenomenal. They used to just go out there. I still remember they played, it was either Kent or Somerset, I think it was Somerset, in a 10 or 11 over game because it was raining. Somerset come out, I think scored, it might have been Kent, one of them scored 97-ish, and either Joe Denley or Lewis Gregory got 50, basically, to help actually carry them over the line. I think it was Gregory for Somerset. And then Surrey had 10 overs chased down, thinking, oh, 10 and 0, that's not too bad. They go out and do it in like 4.5 overs. Jason Roy and smashed around, got absolutely like blasted like a 20-30. Finch, I think, got 50. And Nick Maddison got like 20 as well at the end. So they absolutely just bombarded the opposition. And that was sort of prime Finch moment.
My prime Finch moment was it 100? He scored a T20 100 in 2013, just after the Ashes, and everyone wrote Australia off. They had those awful kits. They played awful in the Ashes. And you think, England's a really good T20 team. We've just been to the Champions Trophy final. Yeah, we lost it, but we're a good white ball team. Little did we know we're about to just get battered. The course of English cricket is about to go very downhill. And he just smashed England apart. Players like Jay Dernbach were just bowling absolute beach balls to him. And I think he scored 150, 160?
Quite possibly, yeah.
And it just revolutionised cricket for me. It's like, wow, who is this? And T20 cricket had always been 200 was almost impossible. It happened, but it was like a 147 break in snooker. It was just so minutified, if that makes sense. It just became so possible with batsmen like Finch. And obviously he's won 2 World Cups, an ODI World Cup and a T20 World Cup, and a truly amazing player. And obviously former Surrey, so we can't forgive him for everything. And he's Australian. No wonder I'm not a massive fan of him. But he seemed like an alright guy. He didn't seem too David Warner-y.
He's always known as quite a nice guy because he, I don't know if you've seen in the test, he got voted in as the white ball captain after like all the ball tampering stuff. And he won unanimously, I think, pretty much. And like, everyone knew he was going to be the next captain. And he's always a really good speaker. Always seems really well, not recognised, but everyone seems to think he's a top bloke, basically. So I think so.
And as we mentioned, we have a Owen Morgan special coming up very soon. We also have plenty of content on our social media account, TikTok and Instagram, @_URN. We'll hopefully be doing a few more reels, TikToks, and our predictions will also be out on there. Toby, any final thoughts? Anything else you want to mention? Any big news? The Cricket World Cup?
Cricket World Cup, Women's Cricket World Cup is up. This is hopefully going to go live on, well, Wednesday afternoon, just after we finish recording this. And there's a URN Women's special Thursday, 6 till 7, just going to talk about the Under-19 World Cup. The Women's T20 World Cup's going on right now. IPL, Women's IPL has been announced. Fantastic. Hundreds of squads are all getting announced in the next few weeks. So hopefully, a bit of news to talk about.
Yeah, and the talk we actually had about 2022 was the development of women's cricket, and this year we've already seen massive strides in the youth development game. Now there's an IPO with massive amounts of money. What was the figure? It was millions, if not billions.
It's ridiculous. All of the women's teams sold for higher than the highest men's team when it originally started. Wow. Which is ridiculous thing. And Smriti Mandana, was it, I think, who opens the batting, has gone for over a quarter of RCB's budget, basically.
Wow.
And Nat Siverbrunt as well, same, over a quarter. Ash Gardner and someone else as well, who I'm now mind blanking about.
Now, but if you don't catch that episode, that will come out on the Sticky Wickets feed as well. Not an official Sticky Wickets episode. We don't have the full branding for it, so Toby's there and he's not going to say go well, otherwise the lawyer will come in. It's not been official. However, there's so much positivity about women's IPL. Not also mentioning Nat Siverbrunt have also come out with their names on the back of their shirts. That is going to be massive in Asia. It's not, the LGBTQI relations in those countries aren't as positive as they are in this country. And even with some of the messages when it came out that they're going to have their names on the back, there was some absolute idiot saying why there's so many lesbians in women's cricket. And you just think, come on, we're better than this. However, women's cricket is going to allow for greater development of women's cricket. But because female sport is far beyond men's sport in its sort of acceptance of LGBTQI athletes, I think we'll see a growing acceptance of that community within Asian countries, especially India. This is an amazing platform for this to happen. But let's focus on the cricket. If you want to listen to that, that is going to be available on 6 till 7, and it'll also be out on the Sticky Wickets feed as a little bonus episode. Hi, Tony. What is your favourite Sticky Wickets episode people should listen to if they haven't listened to all of them so far?
I always plug the Jared Kimber one.
Yeah.
Hour and a bit. It was unbelievable the way he spoke. We had a few loads more questions we wanted to ask him. We ran out of time, basically, because he was so insightful. We just had to let him speak, basically. And I always think that's a really, really good one to go and listen to. Also, Sam Cooke, our most recent one before this. Really good interview. Would we go and recommend? He answers whether he prefers the 100 or the blast. So make sure you go. We won't say what he said, but make sure you go and listen to his answer.
And whilst we're talking about female legends, let's plug the Ellie Aldred one. Dig that one out. Absolutely amazing, amazing opportunity that was. And we really did love that. So hopefully, Ellie, if you're listening, we'd love to have you back on. She was on the Moon Under the Water pub podcast. And it's mad to think she was on like our podcast as well. So do look out for that. We've had amazing guests. And we've got lots to look forward to. If you haven't already, rewatch myself and Toby bang on about the atmosphere at the ice hockey. And Toby, would you like to end the tail end of this podcast?
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you keep it your own. Go well and
cheers!